Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 36 to the end of the chapter. But on that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if your master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour he was not aware of, and he will cut him into two, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Are you ready? A question often heard in our household. Are you ready? Usually the answer is no, of course. But it's a question that we often have given to us. I was just asked this week, next weekend, I'm off to Sierra Leone for a week. And around one dinner time, I was asked, are you ready? At that point, I didn't even know really where we were going, apart from I was going to Sierra Leone. And I still don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm going as part of a medical team to provide care to villages around the second biggest city in Sierra Leone called Bo. And I'll be working with a group of medics, and there'll be opportunities of giving primary care and sharing the gospel with them. So am I ready? Not at all. I have got my malaria tablets, you'll be pleased to know. So I'm getting there, and I've got my pop-up mosquito net. I didn't even know they did them. But the question is, are you ready? Is one that we often hear, and we often have to answer. And that's really the thrust of what I want to talk about this evening from the passage that Matt read to us. Are you ready? Just to give a little bit of context, Matthew 24, at the beginning of, in the first three verses, we get the context of where the parable, the story that Jesus told comes from in verses 1 to 3 of Matthew 24. We read that Jesus was walking out of the temple with his disciples, and his disciples made a comment to him about the buildings and how wonderful they were. And Jesus replies that they were going to be destroyed, that the temple would be no longer. And a little bit later, as they've left Jerusalem and gone across the valley and up to the Mount of Olives, the disciples sit with Jesus and they ask him about it. And they say in verse 3, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. That was the question that Jesus was answering here. And we have in the next two chapters Jesus' very long answer. And we see that Jesus answers both the question of when and how will we know. And in the first part of chapter 24, we get Jesus giving details of the signs that would come before the temple was destroyed and before Jesus would come again. You see, the disciples had narrowed it down to thinking that when the temple was destroyed, that would be the end of time, and that would be when the king would return. But Jesus is taking it a bit further and talking not just about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, but talking about the end of time. And he gives details of what will happen. There will be wars. There will be persecution. There will be famine. There'll be all sorts of things going on that will give us a glimpse of when, of what is going to happen. And you can read a little bit later, if you have time, some of the details of what that will involve. But then in verse 36, he goes on to talk about the when. When will this happen? When will we see the destruction of the temple? When will you come back again? And Jesus gives an answer using a number of parables. And over the next few weeks, we will be looking at each one of these parables. I've got the first one. And so just to give a little context, that's where we're looking at over the next few times that we're looking at the parables together. We're thinking about the end of time. We're thinking about Jesus coming again. And at the end of chapter 25, Jesus talks about what that will actually look like. But my focus this evening is just on that end of chapter 24, the passage that Matt read from verse 36. And it can be summed up in one sentence, really. And this, if you don't remember anything else I say tonight, this is the thing to remember. Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when, so be ready. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. Let's be ready. And just to break that down a little bit, Jesus is coming back. There's all sorts of verses mentioned that relate to Jesus coming back at the end of time. There's just a few up there if you can read them. But there's all sorts of verses going on. Someone has done some research that I haven't checked out, I have to admit. But they reckon there's 318 references in the New Testament alone to Jesus coming back again. And they work out that that equates to one in every 30 verses as a mention of the second coming of Jesus. If you want some homework, there's something to check out for you. But regardless of whether those actual numbers are true or not, there is an awful lot said about Jesus coming back. You see, there really is no question about it. The Bible is very, very clear that Jesus is coming back again. He came once, he died, he rose again, he was ascended into heaven. And as he was ascended into heaven and the disciples looked on, the angel that was with them said, "Don't worry, Jesus is coming back again." It's happening. Jesus is coming back. I don't know how that makes you feel this evening. I don't know what that stirs in your thoughts that you, when you think about the fact that Jesus is going to return? Well, the one thing that is true, that it is certain. Jesus is coming back. But we don't know when. We don't know when. We're given some indications. In the first part of, as I said, of Matthew 24, we're given some indication of what will have to happen before that will take place. But in verse 36, we are told that no one knows. No one knows when Jesus is coming back. The angels don't know. You and I don't know. The prophets don't know. No one knows, but only God the Father. But we're given two indications of things that will happen. And the first one is that this, in verses 37 and 38, we are told that it will be like the days of Noah. That just before Jesus comes back, it will be like it was in the day when Noah was on the earth. And he was building the ark and he was telling the people that God was going to judge the world when he sent a flood. And the people took no notice. They carried on doing their own thing. They carried on in their own routine of life. They ignored all that Noah said. They ignored the sign that they could see of Noah building this ark. And it wasn't as though it was just a glimpse. He was there for 120 years. He was building this boat. And yet the people ignored it and carried on doing their own thing. And that's one of the things that will be evident just before Jesus comes back, that it will be just like that. That people will be given to eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage. And they won't recognize the signs that are taking place. They won't see what is going on. They won't understand that the Son of Man will be coming imminently. But it will also be very sudden. Two men will be in the field, verse 40 says. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Quite chilling, isn't it, when you try to picture what that might look like? We could even just picture it here now. If Jesus was to suddenly come back now, there's a possibility that one will be taken and the person sitting next to you will be left. Or even worse, the other way round. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. It's going to be, verse 43 tells us, like a thief coming in the night. They don't tell us, do they, when they're going to come and burgle a house? They keep it a secret because they don't want to let anybody know what is happening. They don't want anybody to know. And Jesus coming back will be just like that. We won't know. We won't see. We might get an inclination from the signs that we see around us, but we won't actually know when Jesus is coming back. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready. That's the story that Jesus tells. In verse 42, we read, "Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." We need to be alert. We need to be watchful. We need to keep on our guard. We know something's going to happen. We just don't know when. And therefore we need to be ready. An insurance company in California recently surveyed their customer base. They're particularly interested in those that were in the earthquake kind of region of California. And so they did this survey asking whether they thought, whether their customers thought an earthquake would happen in the next 3 to 5 years. Apparently 64% of people replied that they thought an earthquake would happen in that time period. And then they looked at the number of insurance policies they'd sold, and it was only 25%. You see, people knew, believed that an earthquake was going to happen, but it didn't result in them doing anything about it. And that's the danger Jesus is warning of as he tells this story about the servants. We need to be ready. We need to be on our guard. And Jesus tells this story from verse 45 onwards. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? That's the picture that Jesus has put before us, that a master has gone away and he's left his servant in charge of his all of his affairs. He's in charge of his household and he wants them to look after those under them. He wants to give them responsibility of giving everybody food when they need it, of being in charge of all that he had. And that's the scenario that Jesus is painting. That is the picture. What kind of servant is going to be ready? What kind of servant is going to be prepared? You see, many people have thought that when they've heard that Jesus is coming back, and so they've got into a position where they sell everything, they give everything up, and they sit and they wait. But that's not what Jesus is telling us here, how we need to prepare for Jesus' return. How then should we be ready? And he highlights two servants. The first one is one who is prepared. Someone who is ready to receive his master back. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. You see, we have a servant here who is actively doing what his master wants him to do. We have a servant who is concerned for those that he's been placed in responsibility over. And he wants to look after them, and he wants to care for them, and he wants to do what his master has asked him to do. He doesn't know when his master's coming back. His master hasn't told him, but he gets on and does what he's been asked to do. He doesn't just sit there waiting for him to come back and just letting the household run its own course. He's actively engaged in the duties that he has been given, doing the things that his master has asked him to do. And Jesus says that this servant is a blessed servant. This one is rewarded. Assuredly, verse 47 says, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. You see, this was a servant. This was someone who was ready. This was someone who was prepared. He was watching and he was waiting. But he was doing it by being actively involved in his master's life. Actively involved in serving him. And Jesus calls him blessed. But then in verse 48, he goes on to talk about another servant. This servant is very different. This servant says in his heart in verse 48, my master is delaying his coming. And so he decides that he will do what he wants to do. He will live life as he wants to live life. And we read that he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. You see, he's not concerned really about his master. He's not concerned about what his master wants him to do. Because he's there on his own. He has the responsibility. He can do what he likes. And so he does. And then we read that the master comes back in verse 50 when he is not looking for him and at an hour he's not aware. And then we read of the very painful punishment that that servant receives. That's not the way to be ready for Jesus. You see, one servant is honoured and rewarded, the other one is punished. One is active, one is lazy. One is concerned about those that he's been given responsibility for, the other is cruel. And so we go back to the question, who then is a faithful and wise servant? It's the one who's prepared. But what does that really mean for you and I? John MacArthur, in his commentary, says this, that Jesus is teaching that every person in the world holds his life, his possessions, and his abilities in trust from God, whether or not he acknowledges that trust or even acknowledges God. He will therefore be held accountable by his Creator for how he uses what he has been given. Did you realize that Jesus has put you in a position of responsibility? He's given you many things. And you are responsible for how you use them. And we have the same question, who is a faithful and wise servant of the things that we have been given? And it comes down to the same choice. Which kind of servant are you? Which one best describes how you use the resources and the abilities and the gifts that God has given you? Are you faithfully seeking to do what God wants you to do? Knowing that he could come back at any time, you're willing to give of yourself to care for those that God has given you responsibility for? Are you active in doing what Jesus wants you to do? The Bible all the way through tells us that what does he want from people? He wants people to make disciples of all nations. He wants people to care for those that are needy. He wants us to love one another. And all of these things will be worked out in different ways in our lives. And we will have different elements of responsibility. But how are you handling the responsibility that Jesus has given you? Are you faithful in doing what he wants you to do? Are you actively using the gifts and the abilities that God has given you? You see, the wise and faithful servant is one who does what his master wants him to do. Or you like the other servant, who basically does what he pleases. Jesus isn't coming back yet. Let's just get on and enjoy life. Let's do what we want to do. Let's please ourselves. Let's not worry about anybody else. It doesn't matter what effect what I do has on anybody. No one's going to know. No one's going to find out, maybe. Let's just get on and enjoy myself. Not worry about what Jesus wants from us. It's a very dangerous approach, because we don't know when Jesus will return. But we do know he will, and we do know that when he does, what will happen to someone who is unprepared, someone who Jesus actually calls evil, that they will be cut in two and appointed a portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A frightening position. Which servant describes you this evening? Do you have a hope that burns within your heart, knowing that Jesus has died to forgive you, knowing that he has risen and is in heaven now, and that he's coming back to take you home? And you have that hope that burns within you so that you want to love and serve him as best you can. That you have that drive and that determination to do what he wants you to do. Do you have that passion? Are you preparing yourselves for when Jesus comes back? Are you making yourself more like him? That's the way to be prepared. That's the way to get ready. That's the way to keep watch. That's the way to be alert. That's the way to make sure that you enjoy the blessing that comes from being a faithful servant. But maybe this evening you don't have that hope. You don't have that hope that drives you to want to please God. Then there is some words that we're going to sing in a moment in our final song, which says this, that there is a hope that lifts my weary head. It's a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there. If that second servant describes you this evening, then let me warn you again that it's a dangerous place to be. But let me give you the hope that that is not necessarily the end. That there is hope. That you can know Jesus the Saviour. that maybe you are feeling as though you're in the deep pit. There's no way out. But there is hope that because Jesus is there, and he can forgive, and he can cleanse, and he can make you right, so that you too can have that hope which burns in your heart, so that you can look forward to the day when Jesus returns. You see, Jesus is coming back. But we don't know when. But please, please, get ready.